When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
What is up, everybody? Welcome to another week of Golf Talk here on Roto Grinders. Drive for Show, DFS for Dough is the name of the program. And we've got the Players Championship this week. So what people commonly refer to as the fifth major, which would actually make it the first major of the year, if you want to call it that. But however you want to slice it, big DFS contests out there this week. Lots of bets to be made, money to be won. And hopefully we can help you do some of that here on the show. So to do that, you've got myself, Justin Van Zuden, STL Cardinals 84. Got Mr. Derek Farnsworth, a.k.a. Notorious, alongside as well. Noto, what's going on?
Not much. Scottie Scheffler found the putter, found the beard. He's a new man. And, ran away with the tournament. Luck finally had an outright hit. Wasn't great, plus 650, but I'll take it. How was your week?
Yeah, most of the stuff was full before I could get in, so I ended up having a lighter week. I just played some entries in the $5, and so I'm glad I did, because it would have been a disaster. And I don't know why these limited field events, okay? So I pulled this up right before the show. We had, 11 players get cut last week. That's it. Only 11 guys get cut. I somehow had five of them in my 20-golfer player pool. Svensson finished dead last. Fleetwood was a disaster on Friday. Morikawa was a disaster on Friday. Adam Scott was a disaster on Friday. And then, you had Højgaard, Rose, and Fitzpatrick missed the cut as well. What is it with these events that, like, it's guaranteed four or five pretty big names are going to miss the cut? Only 11 guys got cut.
Yeah, at one point on Friday, it looked like there was going to be, like, four guys getting cut because everyone was within 10 shots of the leader. I don't really understand the point of a cut if you're only going to cut, like, eight guys each time. But,
My lineups agree because I just got destroyed.
I mean, yeah, I had a lot of Scott, some Morikawa, and then the Fleetwood 10 just really got the Friday going.
So I did like 15 lineups, I think. The 6-6 percentage, I think, was like 60% last week. I had 0 6-6 lineups. 0 out of 15. I played like 15 lineups in the $5 and ended up getting like $10 back. So whatever. Most of the stuff, I went to enter on Wednesday night and early Thursday morning, and then stuff was like filled up really fast. So time got away from me last week. So that saved me some money. I'm happy for that because all those landmines that were in my lineups were just a disaster. But at the end of the week, we saw what Scheffler can do when he putts, and he had one of the best putting rounds of his career, and he ran away with it. I mean, a five-shot win over Wyndham Clark with a 600 round on Sunday for Scheffler pretty much put that to bed early. And that's just him at this point, right? If he's going to putt, he's going to be in contention, because we know he's posted the video game-like numbers from tee to green here over the last year and a half. Some other big names inside the top 10, Wyndham Clark finished runner-up. Shane Lowry finished third. Zalatoris and Henley tied for fourth. Benny Ahn was in the top 10 as well as Max Homa. So had some of those guys in my player pool, but again, with too many missed cuts to go along with it. But what else did you take away from last week?
Yeah, that's, I mean, you wrapped it up pretty good. Love Bay Hill always presents, you know, a pretty good finish. We have another good finish on tap this week. But yeah, I mean, no major surprises other than the big missed cuts that you mentioned. And I forgot to bring this up a couple weeks ago. You hit that big darts parlay. Are you a darts aficionado, or how did that come to?
Yeah, I've been watching for like a year and a half or so now. And the matches usually only take about half an hour or so. Yeah, it's pretty entertaining. I got to watching it during like the big world championship event like a year ago, so that's always like around New Year's. Yeah, I've become a fan. It's pretty amazing. Like if you go just to the bar or something and try to, you know, shoot darts, and you just see how difficult it is with these guys who can just plop three darts into the triple 20 with no with no regard for, you know, going elsewhere. It's just pretty remarkable. I mean, even the guys that are like on the fringe of pro status, just another sport that, you know, you can say, oh, it's just darts, but man, it's pretty remarkable how much better the pros are than just your average Joe. Obviously, I can throw a dart at a board, but not with anywhere near the accuracy of those guys.
Yeah, Kenny Kim always posts, highlights of some of the big tournaments. He's a big PGA DFS guy, and I can't believe some of the crowds at those.
Yeah, events. The crowds are pretty rowdy. I'm not quite as rowdy in general as most of those crowds, but I'd like to experience one time. Maybe I'll have to connect with Kenny and we can go. I think they have a big event every year in New York and a big event like in Vegas, but most of them are in like Germany and UK and stuff. But yeah, it's fun. You can always, you can have it playing on the side while you're doing other stuff, and I don't know, become a fan. Winning some money helps too.
Yeah, I like the niche sports. I've kind of gotten into tennis last couple months, so right there with you. But yeah, let's talk about the players, huh?
All right. TPC Sawgrass, of course. Deepest field we've seen so far this year. Even some golfers into those 5Ks on DraftKings might even be viable this week. So plenty to get to and talk about. Of course, we'll do the snake draft at the end of the show as usual. That filled up in a hurry last week. And why don't we go ahead and talk about the course, TPC Sawgrass. This tournament used to be contested closer to the summer. Now it's been moved to March as of like the right around COVID timeframe, I guess 2019, 2020 was when they moved it up earlier in the spring. So we've got a few years of data with this earlier tee off point with the players in March. And what do we need to know about TPC Sawgrass?
Yeah, so it's a par 72. That's just under 7,300 yards. So pretty short course by PGA Tour standards, narrow fairways, pretty small greens, Pete Dye design. And what he does with most of his designs is he kind of negates power off the tee. That's kind of enforced here by a lot of forced layups and dog legs. The average driving distance here last year was 284 yards, which is well below tour average. The average driving accuracy was 59%. Average green regulation was 59%. It's typically one of the hardest 15 courses on tour. And water's in play everywhere. You're going to have a lot of birdies, and you're going to have a lot of big numbers. I think water's in play on every single hole, which is something that you're going to see a lot of, a lot of penalty strokes being added to your golfers. And a lot of the water hazards, require a drop like right where you hit the ball from because you're having to carry these large bodies of water. Some courses, if you hit in the water, you're just dropping up by the green. But if you do not fail to carry, these water hazards, it's essentially a two-stroke penalty rather than just one-stroke penalty. I'm kind of looking at guys that are accurate off the tee. We've seen driving accuracy be a little bit more important, although with the move to March, we have seen some of the longer hitters play well here the last 3 years. Looking at guys that are good on approach, a lot of approaches from, wedge distance, and a lot of approaches from 200 plus. So you're going to see, wedges and long irons. Looking at guys that play well in Florida, And course history doesn't matter all that much just because of the variance due to all the water hazards. So you're going to see guys like Scheffler, McIlroy that have won here before and also have missed cuts here. Just going to be a lot of carnage. So plan accordingly with your lineups.
Yeah, and we've seen that in the past at this event. You know, guys that are generally pretty big names. Rory's missed the cut here 3 of the last 5 years, but he also has a win in there. Schauffele had missed the cut 3 years in a row before last year. Cantlay had missed the cut 3 years in a row before last year. Wyndham Clark has 3 missed cuts in a row here before last year. And then Henley, 3 missed cuts in a row here in the past, followed by 2 top 20s. So, yeah, just another event that's a little bit more unpredictable. 2021 was definitely the weirdest. If you look at the 10 highest priced golfers this week, 7 of them missed the cut here in 2021. So obviously that was 3 years ago, and you know it isn't going to necessarily be what happens this week. But just goes to show you the variance that creeps up at this event with some of the penalty strokes. So with that, we can go ahead and start digging into the top end of the player pool. We actually have 6 golfers in the 5-figure salary range on DraftKings this week. First time we've had that in a while. But again, the floor is down to 5K again this week. And some of those guys are potentially rosterable. So does that make you more likely to play somebody up here? What do we do with Scheffler at 12-8? And then kind of the other guys, Rory, Schauffele, Cantlay, JT. Again, some guys with maybe some hit or miss history at this event. But what do we think?
Yeah, I'll have all kinds of builds in my MME player pool. But when it comes to my single entry 3-max, I'm not sure. I'm kind of struggling with roster construction at the moment because I do like the balance build. And I think that'll be a little more contrarian. With all the golfers in the 5K range, it's easy to get up to Scheffler or Rory, somebody like that. It's hard to argue against Scheffler, obviously, with the new putter. It was great last week. Won here last year. But again, anyone can miss a cut here, and he's going to be extremely popular. We got him at like 30% on DraftKings, 55% ownership on FanDuel. If he comes out and goes like T25, something like that, there's certainly merits to fading him, but it is scary. Then everyone else has some question marks. I mean, Cantlay hasn't been very good here. I like Xander, but he hasn't been that great here. Rory has been awesome off the tee. We talked about it last week. You know, he's teeing his driver down a little bit, and that's helping him find more fairways, but then he just hits his approach shots in the water, so that's not really helping him much.
He was over par on the par fives last week.
Man, I had a parlay with him, and I just needed a top 20, and he shot like 8 over on Sunday to finish T21. That was brutal. But, yeah, so if I'm ranking these guys up here, obviously Scheffler should be number 1, but I do like Xander quite a bit. I think JT probably the pick. You know, he's been awesome. You take out the one event where he was paired with Tiger at the Genesis, he's finished T12 or better in 8 of his last 9 starts. So he's been awesome. He's won here before, good course fit. Who's your favorite?
Yeah, so I don't want Scheffler to be the guy that makes or breaks my week. So I'm just going to play him probably slightly less than field ownership. I'll let the rest of my lineups kind of decide how my week goes. 0% Scheffler, and then he goes out and makes every putt again, just sounds like a bad week waiting to happen. And, you know, going all in, and then he hits 3 balls in the water the first day. Just don't want that to be the spot this week that breaks me. So I guess I'm neutral as far as an overall opinion goes. If you've got maybe more intestinal fortitude than I do with how to handle Scheffler, maybe you fade. But underweight, probably slightly underweight, but not going to full fade for me. Hovland is the guy that I found myself gravitating to the most. And I know some of the chipping issues have come back, but this is a guy that hasn't missed a cut on U.S. soil since June of 2022. So almost 2 years without missing a cut. You know he's going to hit greens. And if he can just, you know, avoid the, you know, 6 or 7 with some problem chips here or there, I think he's going to be in contention. Not as many people are talking about him. I mean, the recent history, obviously no missed cuts, but not a lot of top finishes, particularly in this calendar year. So He's a little bit cheaper than the other guys. I like Hovland at 10-1, you know, with Cantlay and Schauffele having a little bit more sketchy course history. I think JT's okay as well. He's played actually as consistent here as anybody. If you just go off the last 5 years, he's one of the only ones that hasn't missed a cut. So I'm okay with JT. I'll probably sprinkle in some of the other guys. But I like Hovland in GPPs this week.
Yeah, I bet him outright. So if he wins, that's certainly fine with me. I did hear that, you know, he's got a new coach right now. So maybe that has something to do with the short game issues. But yeah, great ball striker. Good in Florida. Back-to-back top 10s here. So I like Hovland as well. The odd man out for me is probably going to be Cantlay. He's the one I feel pretty good about fading.
Yeah, not a lot of ownership on him as well. I'm okay with that. And then we head out into the 9K range. Will Zalatoris coming off another strong finish last week. His second strong finish in a row. Wyndham Clark, of course, was up there as well. There was some chatter after our show last week about Matsuyama dealing with an injury. He said he still wasn't feeling good after the first round or two. Still ended up with a solid week last week. But, you know, the injury bug with him, I think, might end up scaring some people off. Of course, we've got Spieth, Morikawa after his eject mode finish last week. Aubert, Burns, Lowry, and Cam Young all in the 9Ks. So obviously a strong range with how deep this field is. Aubert is really one of the only guys that has not played here in the past. What are your thoughts on the 9K range?
Yeah, this is full of a lot of guys that I'm usually underweight on. Hideki, Clark, Sam Burns. They tend to be a little more inconsistent. They do have upside, but I'm okay being underweight on them. You know, Clark had the cheating scandal again last week by pushing down the lie behind his ball. You could turn that into a positive. I mean, if your guy's trying to cheat to win, you know, maybe you want to roster those guys. But my favorite play by far is going to be Max Homa. He's been awesome in Florida throughout his career. Back-to-back top 15s here. And lately it's been the short game that's kind of been leading to these high finishes, but we know the ball striking can be very good. So I like him the best at 9,600. This feels like a perfect Morikawa course. And I think he was first round leader or right up there last year and then kind of fell apart. It just, for whatever reason, he's never been good in Florida. Do you have any Morikawa takes?
Not really. I mean, I think he's fine. If it fits your lineup, like I'm a little nervous about Aubert with him being a first timer here. Obviously I don't want to play Spieth. So if you need it, I think Morikawa is fine. I'd rather save the 300 and go down to Lowry. I mean, I hopped on 2 weeks ago. It's been great for 2 weeks. The last 2 weeks, tee to green, he's been like second and 10th or somewhere in that range. I know top 10 both weeks in off the tee and approach. And, you know, people are going to see 9,100 for Lowry and think, whoa, that's way too much. Comparatively, he's cheaper on FanDuel and Yahoo if you play there. But I think especially if people are going to get scared away by the price tag. He's made the cut 3 straight years here as well. So I'd prefer to save the 300 and upgrade elsewhere if you can, or just leave the 300 on the table. No issue with Morikawa, but I'm going back to Lowry until it doesn't work.
Yeah, I see no reason not to. You mentioned the form. Always plays great in Florida. Always plays well. Difficult courses. So I agree with you there. But, man, I mean, if you talk about the guys that hit fairways and are good with their irons, it feels like Morikawa. Just for whatever reason, it hasn't panned out here. But, yeah, I think those three are probably my favorite in this range. Lowry, Morikawa, and then Homa. But what about Zalatoris? We didn't talk about him at all.
Yeah, I think Zalatoris is perfectly fine. I mean, obviously, he's over the injury. Top five finishes the last 2 weeks, had a top 15 at the Farmers as well. He tends to play better on more difficult courses. I mean, I'm throwing out the bad finish, you know, when he was basically injured. Other than that, a couple top 30s here, nothing special, but I've got no issue with Willie Z.
Yeah, I'm kind of right there with you. I think he's going to be popular, but he's been so good and he's gained pretty much across the board and with the putter in 3 straight events. So if that continues, he's going to win sooner rather than later.
Yeah. All right. Let's dip down into the 8K range. Starts to get a little bit more hit or miss down here. Maybe guys that aren't in quite as good a form. Sung Jae Im did bounce back with a top 20 last week. But otherwise, you know, had been pretty iffy in terms of form. Matthew Fitzpatrick's in really bad form right now. The guy that I think is going to be one of the most polarizing this week is Fleetwood. And I love it. I didn't play very much last week. I liked Fleetwood. Yeah, I picked him to win last week, but I didn't, you know, it didn't burn me too much. You know, he shot a 10 on the par 5, three straight balls in the water on Friday. Basically never recovered from that. And now nobody wants to play Fleetwood. And if you sort by total strokes gained on this course the last 5 years, the number one golfer on that list is Tommy Fleetwood. He's 7th, a 5th, one miscut, a 22nd, and a 27th. We talk about he never gets the job done in the States, but at least reasonable performances on this course. And everybody's anti-Fleetwood, so just because of, you know, basically one bad 5 or 6 holes last week. So I am back for the pain on Tommy Fleetwood at 8,800 this week. Who else you like here in the 8Ks?
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Yeah, I'll play Fleetwood. I play Fleetwood every week. And he's just a guy. My hot take for the survey is that he's going to have the lead coming down the stretch on Sunday, and then he's going to break our hearts because that's what he does. But that at least means he's going to be in contention if that happens. So I like Fleetwood. Henley's by far my favorite play in this range. He's 8,600. I was looking at Data Golf's course fit tool. It kind of just looks at the stats of the golfers and what you need at this course. He's the best course fit for TPC Sawgrass of anyone priced above $8,000. He's been in good form. He's found a hot putter. The last 2 weeks, he's gained like 13 strokes putting. So if he can, you know, marry the ball striking with the putter, I think he could be really interesting. I'm going to get back on Sung Jae too. He finally had a good week, top 20 at Bay Hill, gained across the board. He's been good here in the past, typically good on Bermuda. So I think it's a good spot to hop on Sung Jae. Maybe this is the start of a nice run moving forward.
I'm nervous about him, but I think it's a really interesting spot, especially at that salary. You know, likely not mega chalk at that with that recent form. I'm going to pull up our projected ownership here now too to see kind of so the guys in this range. So we've got Fleetwood at 6%. We've got Tom Kim, who's another guy that's kind of been struggling a little bit lately at 5. Fitzpatrick at 5.5. Sung Jae at 5.8. Finau at 10. Thigala at 9. So lots of guys in here that have shown form in the past and the ability to win golf tournaments, but maybe not in the best of form right now. So Sung Jae, I can see getting behind. Fleetwood, obviously, I like. Finau, I think, is okay as well. Probably still taking a pass on Fitzpatrick. Really, the only guy that's been super consistent in here of late has been Connors, who I think is okay as well.
So I was looking at this. I actually tagged him as a core play this week. He's gained 30 strokes ball striking this year, and he's lost 24 strokes on and around the green.
Well, it all evens out then, plus 6.
Yeah, and just think, if he has this one good week with the short game, I know it's asking a lot, but it's easier to turn around a short game than it is, you know, the ball striking. So I do like Connors. I think he's a good course fit. And yeah, I like the price point.
All right. Yeah, I think he's fine as well. Pretty safe play. I think he's fine in any format. And then as we get down to the bottom of the range, you've got last week's cheap chalk in Minwoo Lee. If you can keep the ball in the fairway and avoid the penalty strokes, you know, he's certainly an upside play. I really like Benny on at 8,100. You can really mix and match a few options in this range. Anybody else above 8K for you?
I want to play Benny on, but the ownership scares me off. He's been really good recently. It's mostly driver and around the green. His irons haven't been as good as they were, you know, when he was on the PGA Tour like 5 or 6 years ago. So I don't know what to do with him at that ownership. And then Minwoo, I think he's just one of those guys that when he pops, he's going to finish top 10, and he's going to have a lot of bad results in between. So you kind of always want him in your MME player pool, but kind of a risky guy for single entry.
All right, so that'll kind of take us into the mid-range here. And shout out to everybody who is hanging out with us on X / Twitter, whatever you want to call it. We are throwing our stream up on the Twitter machine every week, and looks like we got almost 800 people watching right now. So thank you for checking us out. If you are new to the show, we are here breaking down daily fantasy golf every Tuesday evening. If you want, you know, a different way to view the program, you can check us out on YouTube. Just search Roto Grinders into the YouTube search bar, and we are streaming the show live on our Roto Grinders YouTube channel as well. So just search Roto Grinders, and you can subscribe to the channel. Of course, come give us a thumbs up to help beat that YouTube algorithm. So if you want to check us out over there, of course, you can keep watching on X if you want to, but check us out on YouTube as well. All right, let's go ahead and move down into the 7K range. A lot of kind of polarizing names in here. Maybe some old favorites. Noto's old favorite, Brian Harman. Harris English in here. Keegan Bradley's been a favorite a time or two. Tom Hoagie's playing pretty good golf right now. And then we've got Cole, Scott, Poston, Kirk. We've got Hadwin in here as well. So again, more names than maybe we're used to seeing in the 7Ks, but I don't love anybody in this range. It looks like Hoagie's going to be the most popular option, and I get it. I'd rather go to one of the guys we just mentioned in the low 8Ks. I don't love this high 7K range a whole lot. So is there anybody you find particularly appealing here?
Yeah, Tommy Tables with 20% ownership. That's going to be tough for me to get to.
Yeah.
He's been awesome with the irons. He's gained like 15, 16 strokes the last three events. Contended here last year. He was kind of in the mix late on Sunday. Four straight top 35s here. I mean, there's a lot of reasons to like Hoagie this week, but that ownership does scare me a little bit. I couldn't believe Keegan's ownership last week. He ended up being one of the highest owned golfers in the whole field outside of like Minwoo and Scheffler. But yeah, I kind of agree with you. There's not a ton that I like. I think Eric Cole is interesting once again. If you take out strokes gained off the tee, he's a top 10 player on the PGA Tour. So you just look at approach around the green putting. He's been awesome, and he's won like 50 mini tour events in Florida, finished T27 here last year. I doubt we're going to see 4% ownership that we currently have right now. But yeah, I like Eric Cole quite a bit again.
So I am not super high on a lot in this range. I do think Adam Scott is an interesting bounce back candidate after he was very popular last week, missed the cut, one of the few that got that designation last week, but certainly a guy who's capable of dialing it in from tee to green and playing well here. He's really the only guy that I will be pretty passionate about getting some ownership in this range. We go down to the lower part of the 7K range is where I think we find a few guys that are a little bit more interesting. Van Rooyen, I think at 7,300 is a really strong play. He's been finally kind of capitalizing after a rough year or two, three straight top 25s for him, including a pair of top 10s. You know, Jaeger's a guy that we've been playing basically for 6 months straight, a guy that you can play in here. You've got Rose, you know, if you want the veteran presence, you think that has value. I think there's some plays here in the lower part of the 7K range that are interesting. Van Rooyen, definitely my favorite. What you got in here?
Yeah, so Steve, our producer, feel free to clip this when it goes terribly wrong. But if Jake Knapp at 11% ownership burns me, I mean, I'm willing to take all the losses. He's never played here before. Just played in the Bay Hill last week. Was T57. Was pretty bad on the weekend. I don't think the ownership's going to be as high as what we have him right now, but yeah, I can't play that. And also, I've yet to get Van Ruyen right. He's been awesome. Continues to play well. He was T13 here in his debut a couple years ago. But I don't think I can eat that.
This is the week.
I don't think I can eat that ownership either. So, I'm kind of with you. I like Cibes once again. He's a good iron player. He really struggled with the irons last week. But other than that,
it's not like Van Ruyen's 25%. It's 11. That's not bad.
This is the week he misses the cut, or this is the week he wins? What?
No, this is the week he wins.
Oh, I thought you were saying this is the week he finally missed.
I hope not. I tagged him this week, so okay. I can't walk that back. But I mean, I look. I'm out on Hoagie. I think in GPPs at 17%, but Van Ruyen at 11, I think that's okay.
No, yeah, it's just the highest in this range. But yeah, I just haven't been on any of the good performances. So you know, we do this a lot on this show. If we miss a guy for four straight weeks, we have a hard time hopping on. And eventually, we're right. Eventually, the guy struggles and misses the cut. So anyone else in this range? I like Cam Davis at 7K. Played well last week.
I think, I don't have an issue with Davis. I'm probably sticking with Van Ruyen, maybe some Jaeger. Davis might make my player pool. Agree on Knapp, though. I think I'd go Davis over Knapp for sure. All right. Let's see. We go down into the 6K range, starting to get to the values here. Looks like the chalk is Doug Gim. Welcome, everybody that has boarded the Doug Gim train. Ekroat has had some positive results, obviously won a few weeks back, so he's going to get some ownership as well. But nobody else, I think probably from here on out, in the double digits in terms of ownership. And it's not like there's nobody with upside here. I mean, we've seen guys like Lucas Glover and McNeely and, you know, Straka. They've popped before. Pavon just won a month ago. But anybody feeling particularly confident about in the 6Ks?
Of Denny McCarthy this week, get him on a shorter course that requires accuracy off the tee. Really good short game. He's my favorite play. He was T13 here last year. We have him at 2% ownership right now. I like you mentioned Doug Gim. It's hard to ignore the four straight top 20s. You know, he contended here a couple years ago. He's gained 19 strokes ball striking in those last four events. So I do like Gim. I guess he's kind of your guy. So what are you doing with Gim?
Yeah, I'm okay with it. I wish the ownership was a little bit lower. Like, I don't think you want to jam all the guys, all the values that are somewhat popular into the same lineup. Like, in GPPs, you know, if you're trying to put Gim and Hoagie and Van Ruyen together, that's probably a mistake. I mean, I'll have Gim in my player pool just because I feel guilty if I hopped off and, you know, he's kind of been my guy now. He's finally got four top 20s in a row, so I can't do him dirty like that. So we'll leave Gim in the player pool. I think he's fine. Just worry about, you know, whether or not he can make enough putts. But team no putt is perfectly fine with me. Plus, I don't like a whole lot else, like, right around him. You know, I can see taking a shot on somebody like McNeely in a GPP. He's at least started to make, you know, five or six consecutive cuts in a row. I'm always a Davis Thompson guy. So Davis Thompson, he doesn't have any course history, or I think he's maybe played once, but I think Thompson at 6,100 is solid for GPPs. I'd take him over somebody like Svensson, who shot, you know, 15 over last week. So what else? You see anybody else in the 6,000s here?
Yeah, a couple other names that I like. I like Aaron Rye at 6,400. He's been playing well. He's one of those guys that's accurate off the tee, good iron player. I think he was top 20 here last year. And then Andrew Novak, this is one that I don't know what to do with. So he has five top 10s in his career on the PGA Tour. Three of them, the last three events. I mean, this guy is just on fire right now. Looks like he's going to be double-digit ownership. My gut tells me to steer clear, but what are you doing?
Yeah, I'm probably out just because I'm going to have Gim. I'm going to have Van Ruyen. I don't want to play all the chalkier value guys. It's not necessarily an indictment of him. I don't know. I don't believe in him as much as the other ones, I guess. That could be a mistake.
Yeah, I kind of feel the same. Yeah, I don't mind the McNeely call. Glover's a good ball striker. So if you want to go that route, I don't mind it. Then I'll dip down to the fives, I guess.
Yeah, so we've kind of poo-pooed on this 5K range most weeks, but there's actually some, you know, decent enough golfers in here given the strength of this field. I mean, Mark Hubbard, we were paying eight some odd K for a few weeks back, so the results have dipped a bit for him, but he still hasn't missed a cut this year. And he's 5,800, so if you're looking for a safe cut maker, I think Hubbard is fine. I've seen some Carson Young love out there. You know, you got guys that are super hit or miss like Robert McIntyre that you could maybe throw in a GPP lineup. But anybody, if you're saying MME this week, one or two guys that you'd want to include in your player pool down here?
Yeah, I agree with you on Hubbard, a guy that biggest weakness is the driver. Everything else is pretty good. I like I like Taylor Moore quite a bit. He's been making a lot of cuts. Doesn't really have a major weakness. Was T35 here last year. My favorite play is Sam Ryder. If he ends up being 1%, I think that is a steal. He's gained on approach in 12 of his last 13 starts. He's 53rd in driving accuracy. Just all comes down to the putter. But, yeah, he's been playing some good golf. The cuts he's missed this year have all been right on the number. So at 5,600, I think you could do a lot worse than that. Ben Silverman lives in Florida. He's strung together some good finishes. He's got a 13th, a 16th, and a 42nd his last three times out. He's never played here, but he's probably familiar with the course since he lives in Florida. You mentioned Carson Young. I don't hate that. I'm trying to see if there's anyone else in the model. David Skins, JJ Spahn, Dylan Wu, Raid Out is okay plays. I did see somebody had Ryan Moore tagged or in the survey. I can't remember who that was.
It wasn't me.
Yeah, it wasn't me either. He's played six events this year. T60 is his best finish, so that's kind of tough for me.
All right. With that, we'll go ahead and start wrapping things up. And then, of course, in just a few minutes, we'll get to our snake draft. I do want to highlight one thing before we do that. So I'm going to try to share my screen here, and then we will go to the snake draft. But Roto Grinders has started doing some cool partnership stuff with Bet Spurts Golf. And we've got this rabbit hole tool here. And basically what this is a filterable display of stats, and you can create like a custom model with it. And you can do all sorts of different things. You can sort by last eight rounds, last 20 rounds, last 50 rounds, on whatever categories you want. So if I go under view here, and I can, you know, sort by basically par four scoring, par five scoring, I can sort by approach metrics, gives you all sorts of different approach metrics to look at. Obviously, greens and regulation percentage, Scheffler's going to rank first in that. Approach play, Scheffler ranks second in that. You can also, I mean, you can do types of courses, specific courses. You can also do course type, and you know it's pretty remarkable what you can do in here. So one of the course type filters is actually just TPC courses. So you can filter this data if you are a believer that, hey, so and so always plays good on TPC courses. You can filter by course type, and then sort by just TPC courses over the last however many rounds you want. So let's say we do just 20 rounds on TPC courses, sort by salary. What do you know, Scheffler, first in approach, first in greens in regulation. And again, I still have the approach filter selected as well. You can just go back to total strokes gained and get the same data for all the metrics. And of course, no surprise that Scheffler is there at the top. But you can, you know, use multi-filters and get this as customized as you want. I just started messing around with this yesterday. There's a tutorial video in here as well. So we've got a link in the description if you want to check that out. Certainly worth your time over at Bet Spurts Golf. So check that out if you get a chance. All right. And now we can move to our snake draft portion. So I need to switch my screen share tab here.